was for you.
She came in late.
Ryan was here.
She sat with us.
Well, it's good to see everyone here. I feel kind of like I must not have showered. Everyone's down at that end. That's okay, I won't take it personally. Before we get started, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father, how wonderful and glorious you are, and we come before you giving you honor and praise, for you are our God and our Creator, the author of our salvation. We're thankful for this day that you've given us, this opportunity to learn from your word. We pray that all that we've done today has been pleasing in your sight, and that all things have been done acceptable to you. We pray, Father, for our families. We pray for our marriages. We pray that you would help us to do the best that we can to help our spouse, to help our children, to raise them in a way that would encourage them to be sons and daughters of yours. And we pray that we would take all that you have and apply it to our lives, and that we would draw closer to you and become better children of yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this lesson is Each of the Wives. Now this is kind of different for me.
Tell us how to do it, Rich.
Right. Right. So last week. Last week we did talk about the duties of the husbands, and I just want to, just as kind of a brief review, we talked about how husbands and wives are in a holy matrimony. It's a relationship that God established for men and women, and very early in what we see in as early as Genesis chapter 2, which is really early in our Bible here. We also know that there's duties that were given to husbands and to wives, and so that's part of what this class is about. So last week we talked about duties of husbands, and some of the things that we were commanded is to love their wives, respect their wives, and support their wives. Did we say anything about husbands disciplining their wives? No, we didn't. And why is that?
It's a bad subject.
It doesn't. Well, there's nowhere in Scripture where husbands are to discipline their wives. Now, there's passages talking about disciplining children, but there's not anywhere where it says that a man is to discipline his wife. Now, we're going to be covering some things that are duties of wives, just like duties of husbands. You know, there's jobs that we have based on our gender, and so that's what we're going to do. So to start off, we're going to the first topic is to submit to your husband. So what does it mean to submit?
Obviously, it means to be a doormat and let them walk all over you.
Is that really what it means? Is that really what it means? Let's turn over to John chapter 6 and verse 38. This is an example of the word submitting. It's to be under obedience or in subjection to. Does someone have John 6, 38? Would you read that for us, please?
I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Okay, so submitting there is doing what?
Doing the will of someone else. The
will of someone else. Now, when Jesus came, did he have authority to do things? Sure he did. But what did he choose to do? He chose to do the will of God, didn't he? He submitted himself to the will of God. So that's kind of what the idea of submit is. It does not mean to be walked on or to be a doormat for someone. The Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Ephesians 5, we've read a lot from last week, and so we're going to be reading from that passage again, just because in that passage, Paul does address duties of husbands, duties of wives. So we're going to be, well, some of this will be some review here. Someone want to read for us Ephesians 5, 22 to 24?
Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands.
Okay. So, what do we see in that verse? Do we see isn't there a hierarchy there? Wives submitting to husbands as to the Lord, husbands head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, himself to the Savior. So we see that there is a hierarchy. Now, does that make one more important than the other? No, it's duties. I mean, we all have jobs, right? There's just think of in your workplace. Just because you're not the boss, does that mean you're not important? Chances are you do more work than the boss, right? So there is this idea of it being in submission to does not necessarily lower who you are or demean who you are. It's just a different task. It's a different job.
I think it's just hard in our society as Americans and with the feminist movement, you know, blasting its gigantic big mouth all over the place
I really hate the feminist.
So I've never been so completely disgusted with my gender as I am now. But not me personally and not anyone here, but just the whole thing. I think it's just important that we know it's not men telling us to do this. It's God telling us to be submissive.
And then they look at it as demeaning you. So yeah. You submit, though that means you're demeaning me. That's not what it is.
It's just always, someone always needs to be a leader. You can't have a group or anything without having a leader. That's just how it is. Someone needs to lead.
Look at our government. You have 435 people trying to make a decision.
Right.
And what do we end up with? We end up with a mess, don't we? So this idea of there needs to be a final decision maker, there needs to be there's responsibilities there like we talked of with the husband of making that final decision, which isn't always fun. I mean, sometimes I think you see a lot of men that it's fine if their wives do everything. You know, then they don't have the accountability or the responsibility for the action. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, you know, we've talked about this idea of being in submission too, but in Acts 5 and verse 29, this is a position that the apostles found themselves in. And what does it say there in Acts 5, 29?
But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man."
Okay. What had happened in leading up to this is that Peter and John had been beaten for preaching the gospel. And part of their sentence was, don't go around preaching this guy anymore because it's going to get you in trouble. We'll beat you again. Or we, you know, could end up crucifying or killing him. And so their response was that they should what?
Obey God.
It's more important that they obey God than that they obey men. Now this puts the position of a wife in a very difficult place. If the husband is not going to follow the will of God, that can make it difficult for the wife, can't it? And the reason being is because the wife is what first?
Christian.
A Christian first, right. And so that idea of being in submission to her husband, as long as it's not contrary to what God says. So that's one of the things that we want to look at. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. This is one that we read last week, and this one will come up a few more times. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Got that one?
Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered.
Okay. So this idea of you know, wives being in submission to their husbands, but there's a responsibility there of the husband as well, isn't there? And what does that mean that the husband's supposed to do? It says live with them in an understanding way. You know, the idea is not that the husband is the boss. You know, he's not the one that's going to be, you know, a dictator. He's got to be someone that understanding of his wife, that helps his wife. And it's so important that it talks about honoring the woman as the weaker vessel. This is what we talked about last week with the kind of like if you were to take fine china, you're careful with it, you're not rough with it. It's like you're not, we kind of compared it to something like a chamber pot. A chamber pot's a little more durable. You're not gonna be as careful with it. But with your wife, you need to treat her as a weaker vessel. Now, does weaker there mean strength, or does it mean character, or does it mean what? It's the more cherished, okay? Not necessarily weaker as in frail or fragile, but it's a more cherished vessel. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of God, that makes them what?
Equal.
They're equal to you. So it's not like you have some sort of, well, since I'm the husband, I'm the boss, I'm better than her. That's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying if you don't treat your wife correctly, what's going to happen?
Prayers will be hindered.
Right. And what does that imply if your prayers are hindered?
It's not listening.
It jeopardizes your relationship with God, doesn't it? So that's a pretty big responsibility for a husband, in that the husband wants to be close to God. He better take care of his wife. He better have a good relationship with his wife. Let's turn over to Ephesians 5, verses 25 to 27. We read this last week as well. Does someone have that one? Donnie?
Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish.
Okay. That, you know, this is a continuation of what we read up there a little bit earlier when we talked about, you know, the church submits to Christ and everything. The wife's supposed to submit to her husband and everything. But the second part of that is that husbands are to love their wives. That sounds odd, doesn't it? That we're being told to love someone that we married.
Yeah, that the older women are told to teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children.
Right. There are times where we need a reminder, isn't there? There's a time where we need to, perhaps, you know, marriage is not going to be smooth and easy all the time. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be some difficulties. But the idea is to make sure that you love your wife. And how much did Christ love the church?
Died for it.
Yeah. He withheld nothing from the church, did he? He gave it his love. He gave it his grace. He gave it his life. He gave it his all. And that's the type of example that husbands are supposed to have towards their wives. That's a pretty tall order. Now, you know, what we see in this study is we see that it takes two, doesn't it? I mean, the husband builds up the wife builds up the husband. Hopefully you're not both down at the same time, but if you are, work through it together. Sometimes it helps that the husband can help the wife out of a depression or out of a sad time. Hopefully the wife will do the same for the husband. This example, he says, he talks about sanctifying. What does it mean to sanctify?
Set apart.
You're going to treat your wife like you treat no other woman. Not your mother, not your sister, not anyone else. Your wife is treated differently. And so this example, it talks about having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor. It's like, oh wow, this is my wife. I mean, isn't that how we're supposed to treat our wives? Something special, sanctified. Yes?
And then just thinking of this verse as the wife, it just shows how important that your husband, the importance that your husband should be to you, that he's going to hold you in such high regard, that he's going to love you as much as Christ loved the church. And as a wife, you should always be thinking, you know, that's your husband. He has your back no matter what. And you should always have, you know, a certain type of reverence for his feeling, because it's not easy being a man and having that hard, you know, all those, you know, the final decision, stuff like that, and leaving your family. So you should always think of ways that, you know, you can support him, because he's going to love you so much.
And kind of like we talked about in our first lesson, we talked about building a hedge around your marriage, around your family, where nothing's going to separate you. Nothing's going to pull you apart. You're going to have your wife's back, your wife's going to have your back. You know, you cover for each other, you don't tear each other down, you encourage, you uplift. You know, the symbolism is of tying it to the church is very great, because we can see how much love God had for the church, how much love Christ had for the church. And all throughout the New Testament with the church, you see that you see all the imagery of, especially when you get to the book of Revelation, where the church is the bride of Christ. And so the idea of preparing and for doing your best for Christ, doing the same for your husband, husbands for your wives. Even as Christians, there's other things that wives are submitted to, and this is true for husbands as well. Let's look at James 4 and verse 17. Says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. So, you know, that's saying that it, wives are also submit to God. Husbands also submit to God. This verse isn't specifically to wives, but it's one of the things that we need to make sure we remember, is that we're all in subjection to God. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 13. And someone want to read for us verses 1 through 5? Dundee?
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. How far?
Down to 5.
For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. And let me get that off of King James.
It's going to say that. It sounded a little old. So what we see there is that government is another thing that we're in subjection to, or that we submit to. And so that's another thing. Also, we're not going to read it, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 15 says something is similar. How about 1 Peter 2 and verse 18? Something else where he's in submission to.
Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh.
Okay. So to their masters. Now, we don't have a master-slave relationship in this country, typically. So that's to our employers, basically, isn't there? We understand that there is some submission that we have towards them as well. And is it just the good ones?
No.
No.
And that could be to husbands too, maybe.
Can be a challenge, can't it?
Mm-hmm. Which makes me think,
it's kind of late for all of us
in here. But some of us have daughters. So maybe think about teaching our daughters to make sure when they're dating that they are with someone that they can submit to. It's not... That's a choice. You have these personalities that are with people that are abusive. You know, I don't understand that exactly, but I know that there's a thing about that. You know, they think they can change them. Well, that's really not how it works. You need to be submissive, then make sure you're with someone you can happily submit to.
Something else we should be in submission to is look at Hebrews 13 and verse 7. That one you might want to look at your King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Does someone have that?
Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith.
Okay. So submission there to the leaders. Who would that be?
The rulers.
Okay. Rulers of what in this case?
The religious.
The religious rulers. So who would that be?
Elders.
The elders. So those that are in positions of authority within the church there. So that's something, someone else that... submission, we need to be in submission to. How about 1 Peter 5 and verse 5? This actually covers a couple, doesn't it? Someone want to read that for us?
Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Okay. We see the idea of youngers to olders, but what's the other one there? Humility towards who? One another. That's sometimes hard to do, isn't it? We sometimes will have a personality clash with someone, but... This is saying get over it, doesn't it? You need to treat each other as if they're equal or better than you. So the submission of one to another. Okay. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 1 through 4.
Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear, Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God.
Okay. Gentle and quiet spirit. What would be the opposite of a gentle and quiet spirit?
That nagging woman on the roof. No test.
Yeah, not nagging. And that's hard, isn't it, sometimes? But when you've got a husband that's maybe not taking the trash out, maybe not mowed the yard, maybe not...
What?
Maybe not built the shelves that they were supposed to. You know, it's hard, isn't it, to kind of maybe not push on some of those things. And so that idea of nagging, this quiet and gentle spirit. And what we see here is Peter is married. So this kind of has a little perhaps experience here, where he talks about wives being subject and be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. So what is that saying about how you behave toward your husband if they're an unbeliever?
Well, if you're ugly, then they're going to think, as a Christian, I don't want to be one of those because they're ugly.
Yeah.
But it also makes me think of Abigail. Like, you know, she saved her husband's life initially, you know, because David was going to go wipe out the whole thing, you know, and she went and quietly and humbly went before David and made up for her husband's obnoxious behavior and saved her family and her servants and everything, except as he got it later. So God took care of the problem later.
Yeah, and the idea here is that it talks about your adorning being external, braiding of hair, putting on gold jewelry, clothing that you wear. Isn't that basically like Cosmopolitan or Red Book or some of those where you're judged by how you look? But yet what Peter says here is that he talks about let your adorning, there in verse 4, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Yes?
When I read this passage, it makes how much influence a wife really does have over her husband. Like, how much you can influence your husband. Like, you have more influence than you think you do.
Yes, that is true. Good and bad, isn't mm-hmm. it? Good influence or bad influence. Good. Let's look at 1 Peter, continuing in 1 Peter 3. Someone want to read for us verses 5 and 6? Now, did you want to read that?
No.
Sure.
This is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham. You are such a speaker. Calling him Lord, and you are her children. If you do good and do not fear anything, that is frightening.
Okay.
My dad quotes that at my mom. That's calling him Lord. That's what he tells her. That's why she couldn't read it.
The idea there, though, is that Sarah did subject, you know, she was in subjection to Abraham, and we've read the accounts of Sarah and Abraham. Was Sarah a perfect wife?
No.
No. Was Abraham a perfect husband? No. We see that there was, you know, she did respect him, but she also kind of bullied him a little bit, and there were some things there. But the idea is that she always revered her husband. So I don't really expect Donna to call me Lord, but you know.
Oh, I should have recorded that.
Mark will have a copy for you.
But the idea is that there is a respect there. And if a husband cannot get respect from his wife, where is he going to get respect from?
As it goes back to what we talked about some last week, is like protecting each other, you know, and like protecting your heart and your decisions or whatever, not griping about it to my friends or and vice versa. I would hope that, you know, husbands wouldn't do that to their wives either. You talk about, you know, you see it on TV a lot, you know, or whatever, you know, the guys going out to the bars or the women going out having a girls' night, and they just do the bashing of their spouses, and I just think that's kind of horrible. Doesn't mean we can't go talk to another woman if we're having a problem, but if you're being ugly, I think that's a problem. But if you're sincerely having issues, I think sometimes we do need to talk to another woman, or maybe guys need to talk to another man about maybe issues that they're having in their marriage. You need help sometimes, which I think is partly maybe what the Timothy, where the older wives are to teach the younger women, but not even just the age gap there. I think sometimes you just have to have someone, a counselor, or, you know, if you can't find your answers here, which is where you go first, or maybe you need help finding the answers here.
Yeah. We're going to actually get to that here
okay.
shortly.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine. But let's go into a... what happens when wives fail to submit? Let's look at looking at Colossians 3 and verse 18. What does Colossians 3:18 say?
Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord.
So if a wife does not submit to her husband, what does that mean?
Then you're not fitting, or you're not fit for the Lord?
Yeah, doesn't this sound a little bit kind of like 1 Peter 3:17, where, you know, a husband's prayers can be hindered by how he treats his wife? If a wife does not treat her husband well through, in this case, submitting, and like we said, it's not being a doormat, it's being respectful of her husband. It's not fitting if she's not. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28. This isn't specific to wives, but it gives us an idea of what submission's about. Matthew 20, 25 to 28. Are you still in King James?
No.
Okay. Would you read that then?
But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Okay. What we see there is that the example of Jesus and how he taught and what his example is that... Did the apostles have authority? Did they have authority over the church?
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
they
did.
Leaders.
Yeah, they had an authority over the church. But what did Jesus warn them about?
Not to get all grandiose about it.
Yeah, don't be like the rulers of the Gentiles, you know, the Greeks or whoever. Don't do it like you're at work. Your wife's not going to be in subjection to you like an employee's going to be, or a slave. There, he says that It won't be among you. Whoever is great among you will do what? Will be your servant. I mean, Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, but yet he was a servant. He served those that were with him. He served us in that he lowered himself in order to be our Savior. One of the things that can happen is when there's discord in a husband and wife relationship, where the wife is does not show respect to her husband, where there's just almost a resentfulness towards each other. How does that affect the family?
This is a little bit of discord.
What do your kids see?
Fighting.
Yeah. And is that good?
No.
No. It causes disorganization, doesn't it? It makes that family unit break down. You know, just like any kind of business or anything, your house, your home, is the fundamental organization, social organization, where you have the husband and wife. And remember, we talked about what's the third thing that needs to be in that marriage relationship? It needs to be God in there too. But really, it's the husband, the wife, the relationship that they have one towards another. If you're the relationship of a husband and wife should supersede that relationship of a parent and child. You've got to be strong in your marriage to be strong in your family, because if you don't have that respect for your spouse, then you're not going to be very successful in raising your children to be respectful. Yes?
I once heard that we tend to think my husband ought to love me. He's supposed to love me unconditionally. But we tend to place boundaries on respect. Although they're not doing something, they're not being a person I can respect. But we need to change our mentality to respect unconditionally, basically. Like, you can't place a condition on it. It's what you're supposed to do. Because a lot of times when you get into a fight or whatever, it's you kind of start taking it back. You find all in all the things, and you didn't do this last week, and you didn't. You have to. Not that I've ever done that.
That sounded pretty fresh.
But you have to find the things you can respect. It's not about the things you can't respect. It's about the things.
Yeah.
That you have to bring.
Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. And this is, again, this is Paul to the church at Corinth. And Corinth was a perfect church, wasn't it? Good thing we had the church at Corinth, right? So that we could learn all these things. What's it say there in 1 Corinthians 11, 3?
But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God.
Okay. There is a hierarchy. There is an established order to what God says the relationship on earth is. You know, with the husband, with the wife, with Christ, with God. There is a place and a duty and task for everyone. In the family, it is God's will that the husband be the head of the wife, that the parents be over their children. Otherwise, what's the family become? Comes dysfunctional, doesn't it? Now, luckily we all have perfect families, right? So there's no dysfunction in our families. We all have our challenges, don't we? But what we see is that the order that God says it should be, husbands, wives, and then raising your children. One of the things, and we're kind of running low on time, I see here. One of the things, you know, we've talked about the importance of wives being in subjection to their husbands. In this society, we do have a lot of dysfunctional families, a lot of divorces, a lot of children being raised without a father, without a father figure. Any idea what some of the side effects of that are? What happens when a child doesn't have a mother and a father? Typically, they're with their mother, so that it's usually the father that's out of the picture. But what kind of things does that bring up?
Well, you lose half of your support, half of what is supposed to be the example to a child. You lose any kind of direction, you lose half of that. Like, if you don't have both present.
Sometimes you have a lot of, you have boys being raised without a dad. Now, I'm not saying that girls don't need a dad. I mean, children need a father. And oftentimes with a boy, if a boy's raised by a woman without an influence of a man, they have a tendency to be a little more effeminate.
Maybe, or they just don't learn how to be a leader.
Yeah,
often.
They don't learn masculinity. They don't learn to be a man. To be, like you said, not that women can't be leaders. It's just that they don't have the example of a man. And what about with daughters?
You don't learn what it means to be treasured, to be cherished and taken care of.
Yeah.
Or they might even also learn, they don't learn, I kind of escaped what I wanted to say.
No. Well, sometimes they have self-esteem issues. There's a lot of drug abuse. There's a lot of, you know, someone that doesn't, you know, moms, unfortunately, when they're in that position, they work so many hours, they have trouble being there for the children. And oftentimes with girls, there's emotions, aren't there? And some of those emotional needs are not met by having a father, by having that, the idea of someone that loves and protects, and some of the things that we talked about along those lines. I did not get to this last section, and I do want to talk about it because we touched on parts of it, but it's about wives loving their husbands. So we'll resume with that next time. But again, this is a class to talk about things. So let's talk. I mean, the idea here is to learn. And that's what we're here for, is we want to learn to be better husbands, better wives, better parents, better children of God. And that's what it's all about. So again, we're focusing on marriage, family, duties of husbands, duties of wives. The next section after this will be the duties of children. And that one's kind of different because most of us here, I'm sorry, duty of parents is the next
one. Oh, parents.
Sorry, duty of parents. We do have a section that will be the duties to parents, to our parents. So, but anyway, let's go ahead and we'll close with a word of prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to study and learn from your word. We're thankful for the inspired word that we have before us, that we can learn from, that we can know you better. We pray that as we go throughout our daily lives, that we would look into your word daily to learn your precepts, to learn your commandments, to learn of your love and your steadfastness towards us. And let us to know of of the comfort that we can have through you and through your Son, Jesus. Pray that you would be with us and help us to share your love and mercy with those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.